Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside. Repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Queen Elizabeth skips a summer tradition as Tom Bauer hints at who made racist comments about baby Archie as a new documentary questions Princess Diana's death.
Diana sold so many papers, we wanted to keep her going.
And royal security expert Richard H. breaks down Prince Harry's latest security lawsuit.
And it's vitally important that Prince Harry receives the proper, the right and proper protection. There is no other reasoning or excuse or exemption or anything laid down where Harry should not actually be afforded this protection.
And Daily Beast writer Tom Sykes reveals that Prince Harry's memoir will be totally honest about his wild years.
I really wonder whether this kind of narrative that's gained a bit of ground, that it's going to be all about, you know, sticking machetes in the back of the, you know, the royals and doing one over on his father. I just really doubt that's going to be the case.
We've got that plus so much more in today's Royally Us. Hello to our fellow royal lovers and welcome to Royally Us. I'm Christina. That's Christine. And Christine, I'm going to say it. It seems like the summer months are, you know, inching up on the royals. It wasn't a crazy busy week.
I know. I do love this time of year when the royals kind of get a break. We also get a little bit of a break.
Right.
It's been totally quiet, but it was a quieter week.
It was a quieter week, but we still have a lot to talk about. We still have a lot to get to. Some fun interviews this week, but we wanted to see what you got to say about last week's show. Susanna said it's sad there is so much bad press that is hindering some of the Sussexes' good work. However, all of this press is reactionary due to the amount of interviews and press the Sussexes have been putting out to try and control the narrative. They left senior royalty to free themselves from royal obligations, the right to privacy, making money however they want to make money, etc. But they're also putting out a contradicting perception because of how much they have revealed in their interviews. It makes no sense. There was a lot of comments about this week, you know, about their contradictions, about how they want privacy, yet they do a lot of interviews. And, you know, of course, the fallout from Tom Bauer's book and things like that. So, you know, not surprising. A lot of people have a lot to say about Harry and Meghan.
Always. But I think that there is a lot of, you know, there are a lot of people who feel like they just constantly contradict themselves. Yeah. And then there are other people who come in and say, you know, like they have the right to create those boundaries, you know, to control what they do say and what they don't say. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting to see that discussion because everyone loves to, you know, I feel like everyone's really strong on one side or the other.
Yeah, definitely. Mark Frew says the donation from Bin Laden family was also vetted by the Home Office and various government agencies, and it was approved by all departments, not just Prince Charles' advisors. This, of course, last week when we noted that Prince Charles's foundation took a substantial amount of money as a donation from Bin Laden's estranged family. So,
yeah, it's such a good point that he makes, and a good example of how, you know, the media can, the news can kind of twist the story a little bit to make us believe, you know, Prince Charles did this all on his own, but actually there was like a whole series of, you know, vetting and approvals beforehand.
Right. Yes. It's not like he just took bags of cash.
Right.
All right. Well, let's get to our royal roundup and kick it off with Queen Elizabeth. She has decided to skip the traditional public welcoming ceremony at Balmoral Castle, which kicks off her summer holiday in Scotland. The event, which usually sees the Queen inspect a guard of honor at the gates of Balmoral Castle, will now take place privately within the grounds of Balmoral. Sources say that it was due to reasons of comfort. Sad that we are missing this tradition, but, you know, she has been plagued with mobility issues for the past several months. And it just seems like, you know, this is just another precaution to make her feel comfortable. And
now
she's 96.
I know. Again, every time we talk about, you know, her mobility issues or her health, we both kind of end up being like, but she's 96, you know, can we really blame her? But this was, you know, another one of those, you know, she inspects the Guard of Honor. There's usually a little bit of parade, you know, a little performance from the marching band, if you will. And I think it is a huge honor for the people who are a part of it. Mm-hmm. But for the average person, probably didn't even know that this was a thing until the story came out that she wasn't doing it. But again, she's 96 years old. She has certainly earned the right to sit on her sofa while this, you know, goes on in front of her. But it is just another sign of the times.
Yeah. No, very true. Sign of the times. All right. Well, Duchess Meghan celebrated her 41st birthday and received messages from the royal family. A source told us that the Duchess was enjoying a lovely birthday this year with her family and dear friends. One of her friends, Tyler Perry, sent well wishes on Instagram, writing, "I've had a front row seat in your life for the past few years. I've watched you endure things that would have broken a lot of people. I'm so incredibly proud to see how happy you, your husband, and your kids are now. It fills me with joy to say happy birthday, Princess Meghan." A lot of people, of course, thought this may have been a slight dig at the royal family with all the stuff that that she's had to endure. But I mean, he makes a point. She has had a lot to endure over the past few years.
Oh, definitely. I mean, even if you take the royals out of it and just consider the media intrusion, and just, you know, even if you think about moving to a different country, which I've just done, that was a lot to endure. But she has been through so much in the last few years, and Tyler Perry really supported her through a lot of that. You know, at one point they were living in his house.
Yes.
So clearly they must be close, to a certain extent, but I thought it was nice. We saw lots of posts. The royal family, you know, made some sort of polite posts just to, I thought it was the polite right thing to do, even if it was a little bit perfunctory, it was the right thing to do. But I hope that she did have a very happy birthday.
Definitely. All right. Well, Prince William shared a tribute to a wildlife ranger who was killed in South Africa. He wrote, "I'm deeply saddened to learn of the killing of Anton Mazimba, who I spoke to in November. Committed and brave rangers like Anton are central to the conservation of Africa's fantastic wildlife. Those responsible must swiftly be brought to justice. My thoughts are with his family." Now on the official Twitter account for the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge, posted a 7-message thread in tribute to Anton and the effort of wildlife rangers. Obviously, the environment is something that is super important to Prince William, and this is just a really sad story.
Yeah, you know, William and Harry both speak so often about their love for the different countries they visited in Africa. I think especially, you know, the places that they've worked very closely with these organizations. And Prince William, you know, it's so hard. You've just seen this man in November, you know, doing something, some really important work that's important to William. And now for this tragedy to have occurred, I'm sure it's really, you know, it's really hard.
Really is. All right. Well, Prince Harry has filed a second lawsuit against the British government in Scotland Yard over the decision not to allow him to pay police protection. The Daily Mail reported that the Duke of Sussex has filed a lawsuit against the Home Office, the Metropolitan Police, and the High Court. Now, this new case focuses on action taken back in January 2020 by the Royalty and VIP Executive Committee, deciding that private individuals should not be allowed to pay for police protection. The Mail Online reports that Queen Elizabeth's private secretary, Sir Edward Young, is also mentioned in the case, claiming that he was involved in the Royalty and VIP Executive Committee's decision. Surprised that he's filed a second lawsuit?
Yes. Only in the sense that I thought, you know, we had spoken last week about how we thought maybe that they were learning that these lawsuits can often bring more harm than good. So I'm surprised to see another one. And I would hope that this one would have enough sort of meat behind it to generate a positive outcome for him. Because otherwise, if we're seeing all these lawsuits that just keep digging up stories, creating news headlines, creating more drama, and they lose, you know, then it's just all for nothing.
All for nothing. Well, to help us break this down even further, to help us figure out what it means and where they go going forward, is royal security expert and the director of operations for Mobius International Security, Richard H.
The first court case, or the first hearing, was really based on the fact of why is the UK government, the Home Office, deciding not to provide protection to him. Mm-hmm. The second one, of course, is Harry's rebuttal to the fact that the immediate response of the UK government was such that the taxpayer, UK taxpayer, shouldn't be expected to fund his police protection. In response to that, Harry's turned around and said, look, I'm quite willing to pay this myself. And of course, now the UK government is turned around and responding to that, saying, no, you're not allowed to pay for yourself. So subsequently, what we have now is another court submission application for a hearing to actually investigate and understand the reasonings why a decision-making process involved, and the outcomes hopefully will result in Harry's favour.
Yeah, no, is it disgruntled on the palace side and the police? Is that, are they working together? Like that's where I think it's a little bit of a gray area for a lot of people. Is it the police deciding not to give him the protection, or is it the palace, or is it both?
I think it's both.
Yeah.
Of course, we are on the periphery of it all. We don't have insider knowledge. We can only guesstimate the situation. And the result of what it is right now speaks volumes. The inference is such that senior members of the royal household have taken offence at Prince Harry's comments and what's gone on in the background, but also the police situation as well, making a stand on it. It's a combination of many dynamics in play. On one hand, you have the situation where the RAVEC, the Royalty and VIP Executive Committee, have to make a decision.
Yeah.
In these unprecedented times. Mm-hmm. Another dynamic is the influence of the royal household staff. And the other dynamic is those supporting Prince Harry's situation.
Yeah.
And it's a conflict of interest. It's a conflict of personal opinion on the situation as opposed to professional opinion. It's the politics of emotion that have taken precedence and priority over politics of rationality. Mm-hmm. And it's vitally important that Prince Harry receives the right and proper protection. Mm-hmm. There is no other reasoning or excuse or exemption or anything laid down where Harry should not actually be afforded this protection. Mm-hmm. It will make all the difference. You can't expect a poorly trained private security industry, and I'm talking on a global scale, not just mm-hmm. the UK. You can't expect a poorly trained private security industry to provide the same, anywhere near the same level of protection as the government.
Right. I'm curious, when he did come for the Jubilee, when they attended the service at Thanksgiving, what kind of protection were they allowed at that instance? Did they have royal protection since it was a royal event?
Yes, they did. They had a cast iron assurance mm-hmm. that they would be provided police protection during mm-hmm. that. They obviously had some particular dispensation, but you've raised an interesting aspect here.
Mm-hmm.
On one hand, you have the UK Home Office and the RAVEC and the Police Protection Command and so on, stating that Prince Harry shouldn't be afforded, he shouldn't be entitled to police protection as a citizen.
Right.
And yet here he is coming to the UK for a well-publicised event, and they've turned around and says, yes, you can have police protection. There has to be a balance here.
In your opinion, what do you think the outcome of this is going to be?
I would like to think that Harry does actually receive police protection
mm-hmm.
At cost to him, but nevertheless, some form, some element of that police oversight, the link to intelligence flows, and the armed security.
Definitely always interesting to get Richard's perspective since he has been there, he is protecting, and he knows what kind of goes into it.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's a whole world that we can't really understand.
No, definitely not. All right, well, now it is time to spill the royal tea. And we've been talking about it for weeks, but the gift that keeps on giving is Tom Bauer's book. Now, a lot of people have been talking about this for several weeks because he said that he hinted at who may have made the alleged racist comment about baby Archie's skin tone in his new book. Speaking to Palace Confidential on Mail Plus, he said, I don't think it was a serious conversation. I think it was just one passing mention. To use that to attack the royal family, I thought that was unforgivable. He said, there are hints in the book. I won't talk through it, but there are hints in the book about who made that comment. Interesting.
It's interesting. You know, we spoke with someone before, and I'm sorry, I can't remember who it was, but they said that they also heard from a different source that it was a passing comment almost across the breakfast table or something like that, a very you know, offhanded comment. And I'm sure for Meghan, it probably did stick in her brain and really deeply affected her. Although for whoever said it, I think it was probably an errant thought. Yeah. And of course, that doesn't make it okay. But maybe Tom Bauer is saying that maybe it wasn't substantial enough to create this massive attack against the royal family.
Right. But like you said, what may be a passing comment to one definitely hurt somebody else.
Hurtful to somebody else. So, yes. And but that's extremely valid. You know, of course, Meghan would be deeply affected by it, even if the other party didn't think anything of it.
Right, exactly. I guess we'll never know. Well, we do know that it's not Queen Elizabeth or Prince Philip, because Harry did that in the interview.
They made that very clear.
Very clear. All right. Well, Prince Harry does not want to be seen, to be like his father, Prince Charles, or brother William, but would rather be trusted like Princess Diana. Now, this is according to a new book written by the princess's former bodyguard, Ken Wharf. In his book, Diana, Remembering the Princess, he writes, Harry doesn't want to be seen as the same sort of man as his brother and father. Instead, he wants to be trusted as Diana was. He isn't coming back yet, but it did leave the door open and he isn't ruling anything out. I mean, I think we kind of knew this. I mean, you know, he's always spoke so fondly of his mother and has continued her work. You know, even in that CBS interview, he says that, you know, his father and his brother are both trapped in this royal life and, you know, he wanted to break free just like his mother. So this makes sense.
Definitely. I think if we look at the two brothers, William is a bit more like Charles in a lot of ways, and Harry is a bit more like Diana in a lot of ways. And I think that's normal if you look at two siblings. But I am interested to hear more about this book. I know Ken Wharf has spoken out a lot over the years about his experiences serving Princess Diana. So it'll be really interesting to see what this book outlines.
Definitely. All right. Well, speaking of things that are interesting and Princess Diana, the tragic circumstances of her untimely death are being rehashed in a new docuseries, The Diana Investigations. Now, this is coming out on Discovery Plus this month, so take a quick look.
It was the very infancy of the internet. It was so new. The media just fed off these weird and wonderful stories.
There's so many coincidences, so many odd things that just don't add up.
This is about lies. It's not the truth. This isn't the truth.
This definitely looks interesting. I mean, these conspiracy theories have been going on for years, ever since her death. So this kind of takes a deep dive into this a little bit more.
I know it will be really interesting to see, you know, what is revealed. And I think it's one of those sad things that, you know, maybe we should put this tragedy to bed, but there's still so many people who are really deeply affected by it that want those answers. Yeah. So it'll be an interesting series, I'm sure.
Definitely, definitely. All right. Well, now it is time to break down the royal rules. And we are catching up with royal correspondent for the Daily Beast, Tom Sykes, who reveals how honest Prince Harry will get in his upcoming memoir. Take a look. So I know that we have Prince Harry's memoir around the corner. We don't know exactly when it's going to be released, but a lot of people have been talking about it, yourself included. So what have you heard about this memoir?
So literally, I mean, it has been kept under lock and key. So it is, they're being extremely secretive about what's in it. The only thing that we have been told so far is what Prince Harry said about it, which is that it's going to be entirely honest and truthful. It's going to be written not as the prince he was born, but as the man he has become. It's going to contain his hard-worn lessons of his life and his teacher, focus on the things that bring us together, because you may think that, you know, Harry's very different to you, but this memoir is going to show how much we're all the same. So, you know, it's the usual, to be frank, what we've heard so far is the usual platitudes of publishers. What we haven't heard, which is odd at this stage, is we haven't heard when the book is coming out, what it's going to be called, what the cover's going to look like. There's not even a holding page on Amazon. So nobody really knows exactly what the book is going to be called, what it's going to be, anything.
Right.
And I think it's really fascinating, because on one hand, look, I'm going to read the book. You know, I what was it like coming down to breakfast at Balmoral that morning, you know, after hearing his mother had died in a car crash? You know, what were those moments like? I really wonder whether this kind of narrative that's gained a bit of ground, that it's going to be all about, you know, sticking machetes in the back of the, you know, the royals and doing one over on his father. I just really doubt that's going to be the case. I think that, you know, I think that the Oprah interview, they kind of did that, and the Apple documentary, they kind of did that, and they kind of went for Charles. And I think, frankly, it made them look petty. You know, I think the kind of, you know, it's an old thing, isn't it? When somebody starts, you know, slagging off somebody to you, you tend to think, well, what? Come on, mate, come on. You know, you didn't get the worst deal of hands in life ever, you know? So I think if he's smart, he will have realized that, you know, that is not the way to go, and focus very much more on himself. For me, the really fascinating thing about it is he going to talk about his partying? Is he going to talk about drug use? Is he going to talk about alcohol use? And is he perhaps going to disclose that he's in recovery? You know, which I think is a real possibility. His ghostwriter, J.R. Moeringer, has written a lot of recovery-themed books. He himself is kind of well-known in the kind of 12-step community, you know. And so I think that, to me, would be the most brilliant way for Harry to answer all his critics, mm-hmm. and provide an amazing book, but also not be accused of, you know, sticking it to other people. If it was, you know, my name is Harry and I am, you know, XYZ,
right?
That would be incredible. And, you know, it's interesting because Harry was very hard partying in his youth. He drank a lot, he partied a lot, you know, there was instances where he was caught smoking marijuana and that kind of thing. And there were always, you know, rumors of his sort of partying days. His girlfriend, Chelsea Davey, and him were very sort of hard partying in London, mm-hmm. in the kind of up to about 2010, they split up. But then Cressida as well was, you know, they were just on the scene in London. You'd see them at nightclubs. And there were, of course, loads of instances of Harry, you know, falling out of nightclubs, punching photographers, attacking photographers, you know, doing crazy things under the influence of drink. And it's really interesting when you, like his interview with Dax Shepard, the armchair expert, you know, very much the language of recovery, you know, that anybody, you know, who has been in recovery, has friends in recovery would really recognize, you know. So I, for me, it will feel weird if there's not a large bit about what was, you know, even if it's not, you know, traditional, what we might think of like AA, I'm sober, or what have you. But even if it's, you know, recovery from like the emotional stress, or, you know, it's such a broad church these days, but it seems to me that he does seem to use that language a lot. Mm-hmm. And so I think that would be fascinating. I sort of struggle to see what else gives it the worth $20 million when, frankly, you can have any number of people. You can have Tom Boer writing, you know, the terrible story of Harry, or this or that or the other. So what is it that gives it that enormous credibility? Okay. And I'm fascinated to see. I mean, I'm very excited, and I think it will be a terrific book. But exactly what it contains, I got to be honest with you, nobody knows right now. Mm-hmm. Three people know: Harry, the ghostwriter, and the publisher. Exactly. Oh, sorry, and Megan.
I mean, if this book doesn't, I mean, I'm sure, you know, people, no matter what he writes, people are going to buy it, people are going to read it. But if he doesn't deliver, I mean, is this considered a massive failure for Harry and Meghan? Because it still seems like they are trying to find their footing. They don't really know exactly kind of where they fit into this half celebrity, half royal world, it seems like. So is a lot riding on this book for him?
But I think there is and there isn't. I mean, I think that, you know, in a sense, for them, the financial element is important. They've been, as far as I can tell, they've been spending money like water on houses and security and lawsuits and God knows what else. Mm-hmm. So I think the financial element is really important, and that's not going to be an issue. This book is going to earn out in the sort of publishing parlance, you know. But I think it is the opportunity for them to turn the page on the kind of looking bitter and angry in the Oprah interview, you know, which I do feel like ultimately, and it was received differently in the UK over here to how it was in America. But I do feel that ultimately they didn't come out brilliantly out of that. They didn't land a killer punch on the Royals. And, you know, the stories were kind of conflicting about who said what and when they said it. And, you know, Oprah, I felt, didn't interrogate it fully enough. And so I felt that overall from that interview, they didn't come out brilliantly. And I think that people had very little sympathy for Harry pleading poverty. You know, I thought that was a really, really odd thing for him to do. So my father cut me off. It's like, you're 35, mate. You know, it's like, what do you mean your father cut? What, your pocket money? Are you kidding me? You said you wanted to be financially independent, you know? And so I do, whilst I, and it's really complicated, as always with Harry and Meghan, two things can be true at the same time. You know, I totally believe that the royal family treated them appallingly. But I do also think that Harry particularly came across as a bit of a whinger in that interview. And I think the book is a really important opportunity, a really valuable opportunity for them to press the reset button and be like, this is who we are. We are, you know, X, Y, Z, whatever they want to be.
I mean, this is surely going to be a must read. Can't wait. All right. Well, checking in on the royal kids before we wrap up. And as we know, the royal family is headed to Windsor area, moving to the Windsor area, with Hello Magazine reporting that George in particular is excited about the move to be closer to family shore, but also because the move to the Windsor estate from their home at Kensington Palace will give Prince George and his siblings more freedom to enjoy their favorite outdoor pastimes, which include swimming, football, and tennis. It seems like, you know, they're getting ready for this big move, enjoying one last summer. I know Kate's uncle spoke out saying that they're ready for this next chapter in their lives. So definitely some things to look forward to in the next few months.
I think so. And, you know, I've suspected that this move was really motivated by the kids. You know, they've recently been photographed riding their bikes and scooters and getting ice cream in London. And I think William and Kate want more privacy for them so that they can still do those fun things like football and tennis, but they can do it, you know, without being photographed or without worrying about, you know, someone snapping a photo on their iPhone.
Definitely want some privacy and maybe a little bit of normalcy, but I don't know if that could ever happen. All right. Well, Christine, thank you for running down all things royals with me as always.
Thank you so much. I enjoyed this quiet week.
It was yes. Kind of don't make it too quiet, royals.
Oh, no, knock on wood.
But keep commenting, keep subscribing, and we will see you guys next week.